It's a typical Sunday evening in the living room at the Midden, a housing cooperative in Columbus. Paintings made by inmates lean against the coffee table, and volunteers circle the dining room table, packing books to be mailed to prisoners throughout Ohio. The Redbird Books to Prisoners book packing night fills the four-story row house with the sounds of wrinkling paper and ripping tape every first and third Sunday of the month. Dedicated to organizing against oppression, the Midden makes their house available as a meeting hub for multiple groups that participate in direct action. But Redbird Books is the only one that's built into the foundation of the house. Not only is the library housed in their basement, but the program is also on their chore sheet. Madeline Smith, a PhD student at Ohio State University, is one of the members of the house. Running Redbird Books is her house job.
We try to make the house available as a community space for community projects and things that build solidarity and help combat alienation.
What would evolve into Redbird Books started in 1999 by former inmate Dan Cahill, who knows the power of books.
You know, breathing and eating is pretty important, but as far as after that, I'd have to say books.
In and out of prison over the course of 35 years, reading was Dan's way of staying sane. He read so many books in prison, he didn't even realize the effect they were having on him.
It changed my spelling, my grammar, everything. You know, it changed everything.
He improved so much from just reading books that he aced the California Achievement Test twice. He had to take it again because the instructor thought he had cheated the first time. Dan was equally surprised.
When I took that test and I realized how much I'd grown because of the books, then I went on to college, and instead of being the guy that just barely passed, I made the dean's list like 9 quarters. 3.8 was my GPA. Yeah, that was like the beginning of the change, you know what I mean?
Dan knows his life would be different if he hadn't passed that test.
I probably would still be in prison or dead.
But starting late last year, Redbird Books' ability to get prisoners the books they want changed.
Okay, this is from Grafton, and so I can't fill it.
This past December, Redbird Books to Prisoners received a letter from a prisoner at Grafton Correctional Institution about a new policy banning prisoners from receiving used books. There are currently at least 3 other prisons in Ohio with the same policy: Chillicothe Correctional Institution, Lebanon Correctional Institution, and Ridgeland Correctional Institution.
Okay, he knows the policy, so it says, at this institution, an invoice must be included with any items you send. All books must be new.
The policy means prisoners can only receive books if they are brand new and bought from a list of approved vendors. After an internal complaint was filed, Grafton amended its policy to include Redbird as an approved vendor. But that still means the books received would have to be new. Purchasing new books is costly. New books usually cost around $20, but on average, inmates only have a monthly income of about $24, according to data compiled by the Prison Policy Initiative. Buying a new book would mean inmates would potentially have to spend their entire monthly wages on one item. For prisoners who don't have family that can send them items in prison, it would be a financial hardship to pay for new books on their own.
Basically, they're saying you can't read books if you're poor. That's another, like, level of discrimination that I think is just unconscionable.
Prisons in Ohio were not the only ones changing their policy on books. Recently, 3 prisons in New York launched a pilot program under Directive 4911A. The goal? To eliminate contraband from entering the prisons by banning items such as used books. But in January, the governor of New York suspended the policy for further review. While the reason for recent policy changes is unclear, what is clear, advocates say, is the power of books to make positive change.
There hasn't been an academic study on us in particular, but there have been studies showing that books decrease recidivism, education decreases recidivism.
One of those studies was conducted by the RAND Corporation in 2010. It shows that access to education helps decrease recidivism by 43%. Basically, education can reduce the chance former inmates will commit crimes and go back to prison.
You can definitely tell if you've opened a lot of letters from prisoners and what they're asking for, that they are looking for ways to improve their lives and set themselves up to do better when they get outside.
One way to set themselves up for success is through reading. Some of the most requested books are dictionaries, addiction treatment resources, self-help books, parenting books, and how-to books. But even if prisoners are not reading for education, Madeline argues access to books should still be a right. As for the letter from Grafton,
the following is a list of subjects that I prefer.
knitting or crocheting, dictionary, classic English literature, sci-fi, fantasy, foreign language, and a composition notebook. So the only thing we can send him is probably a composition notebook because we don't have anything else that's new.
Since purchasing new books is not feasible for the donation-based group, they are still figuring out what direct actions they can take to help overturn this policy. In the meantime, Redbird Books to Prisoners continues to send books to the prisons throughout Ohio that still accept their donations. For The Outlet, I'm Anna Turner.